We're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs, and we spent the past few weeks dipping in and out of the first nine chapters of Proverbs, which is an introduction, if you like, to the book. We've seen that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And from chapter 10 of Proverbs onwards, the genre, to use a technical word, the kind of literature completely changes. We're into a series of I hesitate to say random, but certainly isolated proverbs. Occasionally you get clusters together which seem to follow the same theme. But generally speaking, it moves from one subject to another. It's no less for that. It's wonderful, isn't it? I hope you were inspired as at least you read that to us just now. But because of that, I'm going to do something which comes very unnaturally to me. I'm going to preach it in a slightly different way. Normally, what we do here at Emmanuel is just work very systematically through the Bible, from chapter to chapter, teaching what that chapter or that passage says. Because of the nature of Proverbs, I think I wouldn't cope. I'm not sure you'd cope very well if I did that in just the same way. So what we're going to do for a few weeks, certainly up until Christmas, is to teach some themes, some topics, some subjects from the book of Proverbs. Topics that are prominent in the book, things like work and family, and money. And today we're going to preach friendship in the book of Proverbs. So I won't be expositing everything that Lucy read there, but you'll notice there was quite a lot in there about friendship. Friendship. It's a big deal, isn't it? Friendship. It was the philosopher Thomas Aquinas who said, there's nothing on this earth more to be prized than true friendship. The Bible book of Proverbs talks a lot about friendship. Someone said Proverbs speaks most eloquently about friendship than any other book in all the world. The word it uses for friends in Proverbs is actually the same word for friends as for neighbors. And I guess it's a coincidence that Friends and Neighbours were two of the most successful TV shows of my life, of my lifetime. Now, I'm not recommending those shows by any means, but there's an indication, isn't it, that people long for friendship. They long for good neighbours who become good friends. And people long to, as a Friends theme tune goes, they long to have someone who will say, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. And of course, TV has moved on a bit now. People prefer maybe to watch reality shows more than something like Friends or Neighbours. Reality TV shows, so people aren't friends generally, are they? They're at their throats most of the time in most of those reality TV shows. I wonder if that makes people feel better about our own relationships when they see people fighting it out on TV. I don't know. I'm not a big fan, if I'm honest. But if TV's moved on, then the internet certainly has, hasn't it? And the rise of social media is redefining the word, possibly the whole identity of friendship. Don't know about you. Don't know if you're on Facebook. I know some of you are. But the average person on Facebook has over 300 friends. And in fact, apparently, you can make up to 5,000 friends on Facebook. But if we're not careful, isn't friendship being devalued in some ways? 10% of Brits have no close friends, they say. A third of the elderly spend the day on their own, 12 hours of the day on their own. Apparently, nearly half of us feel lonely at some time. I was helping at a youth conference yesterday in Bristol. We had a great time. But toward the end of the day, I suddenly realized there was a girl crying in the bathroom. And I didn't really know what to do. I asked one of the female leaders to go and find out what was going on. And it turned out what happened was, so this girl crying in the bathroom, she'd come with a friend, but her friend had also invited another friend. And the girl who was crying was upset because she thought, well, because her friend had got a new friend, and was she still her best friend? Now, she was only 12, but to that young girl, it was a really big deal. Now, tragically, as she grows up, She realized that there are more painful difficulties than your best friend getting a new friend. Much more painful difficulties that come with friendships and relationships. I realize there'll be some real pain in this room as we reflect on a lifetime of friendship and relationships. Friendships missed, friendships lost. And you may wonder, what qualifies me to speak on this topic or any other topic? I'm not the perfect friend, far from it. I don't have nearly as much experience in my life as some of you do. So don't listen to my ideas. And yet let's all be all ears to the Bible as God speaks like no one else can on friendship. See, God doesn't sit cold and serene beyond the galaxies, does he? God comes down into our world in the person of Jesus and he gets his hands dirty. And here in the Bible, he gives us the first and last word on friendship. The big question we're asking tonight then is this. What makes a good friend? What makes a good friend? How can we recognize a good friend when we see one? How can we be a good friend? And what about when good friends seem to disappear? Is there a friend who won't disappoint? As we study the book of Proverbs, I must confess there's so much here about friendship, but my time is limited. You won't thank me for going on into the early hours. So let me just flag up the most important points. Keep on reading Proverbs day by day. I'd love you to go to the bookstore afterwards, and there's a little book on the bookstore called True Friendship, which is a brilliant book on this topic. And normally it should be £5. I think from memory, is it £1.50, Ray? It's £1.50. Normally £5, £1.50 for you on the bookstore. Pick up that book, True Friendship, on the bookstore. Well, back to Proverbs. And we're going to see one big truth and a few practical outworkings, okay? What's a good friend? Here's our first point. Wise friends fear the Lord. Foolish friends fear others. Wise friends fear the Lord. Foolish friends fear others. Turn, if you would, to a verse we keep coming back to, but why not? You're going to do lots of paper turning tonight, okay? Be prepared for that. Don't be cross about that. Proverbs 1, verse 7. And this is the key to Proverbs, isn't it? Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the introduction to the book begins with that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it ends, Proverbs 9, if you want to flick over. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, we saw this last week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And if it's the beginning of wisdom, then it's the beginning of wisdom in every area, including friendship, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the place to start. And we've seen, haven't we, the Christians, we fear God not because we know we're facing his judgment. Wonderfully, we are not. Jesus has died to take our judgment for us. But to fear the Lord is to live in right relationship with him. To be on our knees before him, kneeling at Jesus' feet in thankful trust and in humble submission. It's like a fire in the grate. I've said this to some of you before. You love the fire. It makes you warm. You need it. The fire is mesmerizing, actually. But you also have a healthy fear of the fire. You have a healthy fear of it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what makes a good friend? Well, wise friends fear the Lord. Wise friends fear the Lord, but foolish friends fear others. Let's turn, would you, to Proverbs chapter 29. To see this, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 25, page 467, where it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. If the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, the beginning of folly is the fear of other people. And what does that look like in terms of friendship? Fear of people means that we worry about what others will think of us. We're desperate for people to like us. We want to be popular. Some people want to have loads and loads of friends. Other people think, if only I can just have one or two brilliant friends who really understand me, who think I'm fantastic, that would be it. fear of people. Those aren't bad things. Like, it's not bad to be popular in and of itself. It's not bad to have a brilliant friend like that. But the fear of people is when we, that is an insatiable appetite for human love. And however many friendships we have, however good friendships we have, well, we think it's not good enough. And we're not satisfied. And we long for the level of friendship that you see in some, well, a band of brothers, people tell me, is all about this, the camaraderie. And it's a wonderful thing, but for so many of us, we long for it, but we never get it, and so we're always dissatisfied. Isn't friendship a good thing? Of course it is. Friendship is brilliant. God made friendship. Moses was called the friend of God. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And in the new creation, well, the Bible says marriage will end, but we're not told that friendship will end. Friendship is great. It's God's creation. Jonathan and David, they had a brilliant friendship, didn't they? But the problem comes when we idolize friends or friendship, when they become more important or equally important to God in our lives. Someone said that the thing about friends is how we stand. We don't look at each other so much. We stand shoulder to shoulder. They say that's what friendship is. You stand shoulder to shoulder. And if we're standing shoulder to shoulder looking to God, trusting him, walking together in his ways, then that's wonderful, isn't it? But if we turn in on ourselves and the friendship becomes the most important thing, then that's fatal, isn't it? Friendship, make it your treasure and it will be your tyrant. Try to please everyone and they'll just rip you to shreds eventually. Or maybe you think, I'll just have the one brilliant friend, the two brilliant friends, that's enough. But if you put all your weight on them, like leaning on a post or a pillar, eventually either they'll collapse or they'll spike you. Foolish friends fear others, but wise friends fear the Lord. They fear the Lord. Of course, only one person has ever got this right. Only one person has ever treated God as he should and been the perfect friend. Jesus knew every friend would run away. One of his best friends would deny him 3 times, but he did not fear others. He submitted to God the Father. Jesus chose to be despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and one from whom men would hide their faces. Why? So that he could take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. He loved us to death so that he could be called the friend of sinners. How to be a good friend? First, a wise friend fears the Lord, but a foolish friend fears others. And maybe we're thinking it sounds great in theory, but it's kind of Sunday night, we're getting a bit tired. Can we make this practical? Can we make this concrete? Well, let's speed up a bit now. And we're going to look at 3 really concrete ways to put this into practice. So second point, choose wise friends. Choose wise friends. I don't know about you, as I was studying the Bible and thinking about this, I found this whole question a bit surprising that we choose friends. Obviously, I shouldn't have found it surprising, but initially I did. Because I wonder how many of our friends have we deliberately chosen? Or how many of our friends do we just kind of fall into being friends with? I guess most of our friends, we're friends with just because we happen to live near to them or work with them or study with them, we were at school with them, or whatever it is. But have a look with me, would you, at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Where it says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Choose wise friends, because if you walk with the wise, you'll grow wise, but if you walk with fools, you'll suffer harm. Glance back a page or two to chapter 12. Maybe it's on the same page. Chapter 12 and verse 26. Now, translators struggle a bit with this verse. The 1984 NIV says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, But the New King, sorry, the King James Version is reflected actually in the latest edition of the NIV. It says this: the righteous choose their friends carefully. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, whatever the precise translation is of that verse, this theme is throughout Proverbs, that we must choose wise friends. We'll see some more verses in a moment. But let's think about it for a moment. Why is that? Why is it that we should choose wise friends? Because we'll be like them. I wonder if that's a surprising idea of choosing friends. Actually, some of us do that all the time, don't we? It's what we do on social media. So on Facebook, you ask someone to be your friend. And if people ask to be your friend, well, you get to choose. You either accept or you decline. We choose friends all the time if we're into that kind of thing. And whether it's on the internet or in face-to-face relationships, let's choose wise friends. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we mustn't be friends with people who aren't Christians? Does it mean we must not be friends with people who aren't Christians? Well, have a look. Turn over just out of Proverbs for a moment into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Page 806 in the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. I have written to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside? Now, it's part of a big and slightly complex argument, and Paul is saying, basically, that the Christians must not associate with someone who claims to be a Christian, but is sexually immoral. He's talking really about church discipline. But the point is, relative to what we're talking about now, that he's not talking about non-Christians. Of course non-Christians are immoral. Of course they are. They're not Christians. But that doesn't mean to say that we mustn't get along with them. One statistic said that when we become Christians, we lose all of our non-Christian friends within 2 years. Now, even if that's slightly exaggerated, it's, I guess in some your experience, in mine certainly, we know it's kind of true. Sometimes we might lose non-Christian friends because sadly they reject us. But generally speaking, we must not reject them. That would be a disaster. How on earth can we tell them about Jesus if we're not relating with them anymore? Nevertheless, there will be some friends who aren't just acquaintances. Some friends who aren't just people that we're friendly with. Some friends who will be really close to us. Some friends who have a huge impact on our lives. And Proverbs says we've got to choose who we allow to get so close, who we allow to have such an effect on us. Let's have some, for examples then, let's read this in the Bible. Negatively, who shouldn't we choose as close friends? Turn over to Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Page 461. Proverbs 22 verse 24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Let's not choose hot-tempered friends. Don't be friends with someone who gets angry easily. Why not? Because verse 25, you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Let's not choose hot-tempered friends. Then let's not choose indulgent friends. What does that mean? Over a page to chapter 23 and verse 20. Chapter 23, verse 20. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. I don't think it's saying that we must all be vegetarians. But it is telling us not to choose indulgent friends. They're indulgent. They indulge in too much alcohol. Or maybe they indulge in too much food. It's just greedy. Maybe they indulge in too much of other luxuries, too much wild spending. Don't let someone like that be too close to you. Why not verse 21? Because they'll lead you into rags and poverty eventually. Let's not choose angry or indulgent friends. But what makes a wise friend? Who should I get close to and choose for my best friends? Well, above all, here's the quality to look for in a friend. Above all, choose straight-talking friends. Comes to chapter 27, if you would, the chapter that Lucy read for us. Above all, choose straight-talking friends. Look at 27 verse 9, please. 27 verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. So as perfume, brightens up the room a little bit, brings joy to the heart. What is the most pleasant thing about a person? What is the most wonderful thing a person can be? The most pleasant of qualities, their earnest counsel, their straight talking, their heartfelt advice. The world says, choose friends who say what you want to hear. A lady wrote into one popular magazine. She wrote this. She said, even if a friend is saying the stupidest thing I've ever heard, I wouldn't dream of contradicting her because I wouldn't want her to be negative towards me. The world says, choose friends who say what you want to hear, but God doesn't agree. In the same chapter, glance up to verse 5. Chapter 27, verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I think we hate it when our friends rebuke us. I think we hate that. I almost gave up on a friend at university because he was very blunt with me. And probably he could have been more gracious. Probably he could. But I'd have been stupid to drop that friendship. Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Let's choose close friends who will be honest with us. I wonder if that's something be helpful to think about in church. I guess in church, just sometimes someone will try to encourage us and help us. And it could sound critical. It could sound like they think I'm not doing very well. Or they don't improve. Well, actually, could it be just that we're proud and that we fear men? And we need to hear this verse, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Let's not reject that kind of thing. Let's nail this down. Look at verse 17, would you? Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. How do you sharpen a steel knife? Maybe you're getting ready to carve a Sunday roast and that the knife is not really getting through that, you know, that the skin of that chicken. What do? You rub it against another piece of steel, don't you? How do you sharpen a piece of steel? You rub it against another piece of steel. How to sharpen our faith, our life, our living? Well, let someone rub us up the wrong way just occasionally. I've got a friend who talks to me straight. He's allowed to ask me any question. I've asked him to do that. I have his permission to ask him straight questions too. I value his straight talking. I asked him to be my best man. He's moved to Japan now, but we talk every 2 weeks on Skype. It's in the diary. Because I value what he says to me. And the truth is, God is graciously using that man to make me a bit better, a bit braver, a bit wiser. I know I can trust him. Who should we choose to get close to us? Who should we choose to stay in touch with? And it's the same point, really. Who should we choose to marry? Let's choose straight-talking friends. Choose wise friends. That's our second point. We're going to just speed up now, don't worry. But of course, friendships aren't just one way, are they? So thirdly, be a wise friend. Be a wise friend. It's easy to feel sad, isn't it, if we haven't got lots of great friends. It's easy to feel hurt by our friends. Think of that little girl in the bathroom last night. But on a bigger scale, perhaps. Sometimes those reactions are totally appropriate, aren't they? Totally understandable. I don't know each of your lives in detail. I don't know the real grief and pain you've experienced in friendships or broken friendships. And that's understandable, isn't it? But the fact is that we can't change other people. We can't change other people. But we can pray that God will change us. A Scottish theologian, Hugh Black, wrote this. He said, "The commonest mistake is that we spread our friendship too thinly and have no depth of heart left. We lament that we have no staunch and faithful friend when we have not really expended the love which produces such. We want to reap what we have not sown. The secret of friendship is just the secret of all spiritual blessings. The way to get is to give." Now, Hugh Black wrote that in 1898. But doesn't it ring true in the internet age? Isn't it possible that someone might know through social media what I ate for my tea? Actually, maybe 500 people might know what I ate for my tea. But I might never have invited my neighbour to come and share it with me. Now, what's the solution? It's not to complain about my friends, but to be a wise friend myself. What would that look like? Well, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. The world is as unfaithful in friendships as it sadly is in marriages. As Proverbs 19 verse 4 says, wealth brings... In fact, should we turn to this? Let's turn to this. Proverbs 19 verse 4. This is how the world treats friendships. Proverbs 19 verse 4. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. The world is unfaithful in friendships. While you're doing well and you've got money and you're popular and your shine kind of rubs off on other people, you have lots of friends. But if it goes wrong for you, you'll lose your friends in this world. By contrast, let us be faithful. Turn to chapter 17, would you? But just back over one page, perhaps. Chapter 17 and verse 17. This is how it ought to be. 17 verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Or as we read earlier in chapter 27 verse 10. Don't forsake your friend. It said, don't forsake your friend. Let's be faithful. Of course, in such a mobile society as we have these days, that we move around and get different jobs and that kind of thing, we can't always stay in touch with everybody. We can't always have the same quality of friendship as we used to have with everybody. We'd only spread ourselves too thinly. And yet, let's think very carefully before dropping a friendship. The world, as I say, keeps a friendship as long as it's convenient, but drops it when it becomes inconvenient for me. I think of a friend I think this guy would once have called me his best friend. But then he got married. Obviously, when someone gets married, we have to recognize they suddenly have twice as many friends, twice as many family. We have to make allowance for that. But gradually, it became obvious he just wasn't interested in me anymore. I've been useful for a time, but maybe not anymore. Well, I could point the finger, but of course I know there'd be five fingers pointing back at me. Let's be wise friends. Let's be faithful. Let's be wise friends, and let's be forgiving. Let's be forgiving. Turn to chapter 24, would you? Chapter 24, verse 29. Do not say, I'll do to him as he's done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. Don't say, I'll do to him as he's done for me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. Be forgiving. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, so we forgive those who sin against us. Of course, that would be a huge topic in itself, forgiveness. Well worth a sermon. But the point is, if God's forgiven us so much, if Jesus died to forgive us, then how can we bear grudges? When friends hurt us, and they will, it may be right to talk about it, maybe right just to let love cover it over, but it's always right to forgive. Let's be wise friends, faithful and forgiving. Wise friends. But at the end of the day, we've still got a problem, haven't we? And the problem is that our friends won't always be wise. They won't always be good to us, and we certainly won't either. We'll fail so badly sometimes. So what's a good friend? Fourthly and finally, let's find the best friends. Find the best friends. Turn please to chapter 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 verse 6. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man, he's rare as diamonds, who can find him? Sometimes people have promised to be friends and fail to deliver. Sometimes we've been guilty of that. Who can find a friend so faithful? That's where Proverbs says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But how to find him? The ideal friend. Isn't he more elusive than a tiger in Siberia? Well, incredibly, no, he's not. No, let's find the best friend because he's come to find us. So turn for the final time, if you would, please, to John's Gospel. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 14. Jesus is talking. I come back to the chapter so often. Jesus is talking to his disciples the night before he died. And he says, John chapter 15 verse 14. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Incredible words. Did you hear that? Jesus spoke to his followers who were about to abandon him that night. Peter was about to deny him three times. And Jesus said, you are my friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. And Jesus says to you and me, you're my friends if you do what I command. Now there's a small problem there, isn't there? And the small problem is that we don't always do what Jesus commands, do we? If it was up to me, I'd declare independence every day from God. Well, praise God then for the very next verse, verse 16. Can you see Jesus' promise? Well, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You did not choose me, but I chose you. If only I trust Jesus' promise here, then I can know for sure that he has chosen me, that I'm not Jesus' enemy anymore, that I am his friend. He's chosen me as his friend, his hand-picked friend. See what he's done for me to make that possible. Verse 12. Verse 12, just up a little bit. Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. What's Jesus talking about? Well, he's saying, love each other as I've loved you. Jesus loved us in this way, that he's laid down his life for us, to make us his friends. He's been faithful to the point of death. He's forgiven us to the point of dying in our place to take the penalty for us, for all our unfaithfulness. So we can be forgiven for our sin to one another and our sin to God. Where we've been faithless in friendship, we can be forgiven because God is faithful in the cross of Christ to us. Where we've been hurt in friendship, we can find all the love in the universe in Jesus. A friend of mine misses his friends. He gets sad because he misses his friends. And time and time again, I've spoken with him, and we speak of a song, we sang it earlier, that goes, "What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." There's no shortcut to deeper friendship with Jesus. It begins by coming to him for forgiveness. He is friend of sinners. It grows by coming to him day after day in the Bible and in prayer. And finding that in Jesus we are as close to God as we could ever be. He is the friend we all need. What's a good friend? We've seen first wise friends fear the Lord, but foolish friends fear others. Choose wise friends. Be a wise friend. And find the best friend. Shall I pray? Father, we confess that we are sinners in this area. We confess that we have not always been wise friends or good friends. That we have sometimes been unfaithful or not forgiving. We ask your forgiveness. We thank you so much for the forgiveness we find in the cross of Christ as he gave his life to be able to speak of us as his friends, that he chose to be friends of sinners for our sake. Father, please fill us with grace, your free gift of love to pass on, to pour on to others, to be a good friend, a wise friend to others, faithful and forgiving. Help us to choose wise friends, to be those closest to us, those most impacting our lives, who will impact our lives for good by straight talking, speaking to us honestly. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.